Thanks so much for tuning in to the Happiness Happens podcast. If you're loving what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I would be so grateful if you could rate and review the show. It takes 2 seconds and it tells me what you're loving and what you're wanting more of. I'm your host, Simona Costantini, and I'm obsessed with understanding what it means to be happy. In 2018, I went through a massive journey and awakening, and I found myself having to relearn who I was and what I really wanted to do with my time on this planet. The truth is, I spent a lot of time looking happy on the outside, but not really feeling the same way on the inside. So I knew there must be other people who felt the exact same way as me, and I've learned along the way that there really are. And now I get to interview them and other thought leaders in the space on my podcast every single week. I'm a recovering people pleaser turned life coach and podcast producer. On this show, we get into what it means to be happy, the purpose and intention behind happiness, how to live a happier life, and we hear about all the hard moments that have shaped people to become resilient and living out their passion every single day. Think of this as your one-stop shop to help you live a more purposeful, inspired life. This is the Happiness Happens podcast. Are you ready to dive into this inspiring conversation? Let's go. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to share with you my new favorite virtual vision board. You know that I love all things affirmations, visualization, and meditation, and we talk about these topics often on the podcast. So when I came across the Perfectly Happy Vision Board app, I was really excited to try it out. What I love most about it is that it's a convenient and powerful way to visualize your dream life, become clearer in what you want to achieve, and it helps you stay focused and motivated. I also love that you can set multiple daily reminders to take a mindfulness break and help you visualize your dreams, which, as you know, helps you build a resilient mindset. What you do is you download the app and you go through the steps to create your own vision board, where you can add in photos and music and affirmations to each area of your life that you're trying to manifest in. The best part is that all of the things that you need are already in the app. The combination of sound and photo and affirmations makes your vision board more vivid and ultimately easier to manifest. What I also love is that you can write unlimited daily gratitude journal entries to help you reflect on your day and really build that gratitude muscle. I can honestly say that all of the things that I put on my own vision board have happened, and it was so wild to see it all come to life. It only takes 3 minutes per day, and I really think that we all have 3 minutes. Start your free trial of the Perfectly Happy app by clicking on the link in the show notes. Okay, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to this episode, everyone. I'm your host, Simona, and it's so great to be back with you again today for this incredible conversation. I am sitting down with Bill Ryman, and the conversation we're having today is a little bit different than we typically have on the podcast. Bill is such an inspirational person. He had so much wisdom to share. We talked a lot about family values in business, how to create a business that's impactful, how to make sure that we're really caring about our customers and putting our customers' needs before our own sometimes, not in a bad way though, in a way that's impactful, not in a way that's crossing your own boundary, but in a way that is really transforming the lives of the people that you touch. So after an injury ended his college football career, he changed course. He dabbled in sales at a car dealership, but he knew that this wasn't the path for him. He decided to go back to college and finish with a degree in business management and marketing from the University of South Florida. With a proven sales track record of millions in residential home sales and vacant land sales at a young age, he knows how to market and sell his clients' property using modern marketing strategies to get a property in front of more eyes. Bill also specializes in new home construction and is currently a builder for award-winning RK Ryman Construction, Inc. The company's focus is the long-term relationships, service, and quality they deliver to every customer. Bill is also the host of the Real Build podcast, where he teaches people what they need to look for before buying, building, or selling a home. His mission is to help people with one of the most significant investments of their lives and be their guide for a smooth process. So, as you can kind of tell from this here a little bit, Bill is in real estate, but he also is working for construction and developing and building homes. So he's a wealth of knowledge. He just is so, so, so insightful. And I'm so excited to share this conversation with you because we're taking it in a different direction today, which I always think is super, super good. So enjoy this podcast. If you love what you're listening to, be sure to rate and review and subscribe to the show. Subscribe wherever you're listening and rate and review on Apple. Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. Let's dive into this conversation. Hello, Bill. It's so nice to have you on the podcast today. I'm super excited to chat with you and for everyone to get to know you a little bit more. Welcome.
Thank you, Simona, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So welcome. To get us started, can you just tell us a little bit about your journey and how you've come here today?
As far as my journey, it goes on for a while. So, I mean, I can probably go on for like an hour, but as far as construction and real estate, getting involved in that, I grew up in the business. Mm-hmm. My dad has always been in the construction business, obviously since I was a little kid. So I always would go to job sites, kind of, he would always put me to work. I come from a very blue collar, work for what you get, what you want type family. My dad has been that way my whole entire life. So anything I have wanted in life, I had to work for it. And anybody that knows me will attest to that too, because I was always the one that missed out on the fun stuff because I had to go to work. So grew up in the business, construction. I've said in the past, love hate thing. I used to hate it as a kid because I was kind of the laborer doing the odds and ends around the job sites, digging ditches, doing the hard work. Nothing was ever handed to me. I mean, it still isn't handed to you in this business. So, but I learned a lot over the years. I've learned I respect it more than anything too. And we're family owned operated right now. Me and my brother are running everything. My sister's with us now too. She does all our billing and everything. And it's been good. As far as real estate, I got my real estate license. I think I'm going on like 11 years ago now. And it kind of meshed, went together with building. They both went hand in hand. So I kind of made a career, also a little side career off doing real estate as well. I had a lot of success in that. I had a big year last year, having a really good year this year too. Just as like a side business, building is always my priority. It's always my love. It's always the passion that I want to do. When people ask, are you going to do real estate? Are you doing building? I say both, but building is always kind of my main long-term vision, my main focus and so on too. And things have all kind of stemmed off of that, from home watch service to other things as well. So that's a little bit brief about me. I mean, I've done a lot. I've played college football. I've done different jobs growing up, odds and ends. But what I do now is I am a builder and I am a real estate broker. So
I love that. I actually worked a little bit in the real estate industry over the last year, and then I went full time on my own in my own business. But it is such a cool industry to be a part of, especially this last year, because so much has mm-hmm. changed. The market is crazy. I mean, I'm in Toronto, just outside of Toronto. So are in Canada. And so our market is just absolutely insane. Like the houses, like they don't even stay on the market for more than like 24 hours and they're gone. It's crazy.
Yeah. If you're a selling agent, you're having a great time right now, because you can sell, literally you can just put a sign in the front yard and probably sell it, or not even have to, before you even put a sign in the yard, exactly. As long as it's listed. It's just, it's been nuts. It's crazy everywhere. There's a big market going on right now. Hopefully it maintains. Obviously what goes, you just never know what's going to happen, but it's a very good industry right now. I think, there's a lot of people that are new in it and they're thinking it's pretty easy. They haven't been through the times of actually having to promote yourself and having to do some legwork. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. I completely agree with you. Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see how it evolves. We're starting to see things start to slow down over here too. So I'm just really intrigued to see how it all sort of balances out eventually, because eventually it has to burst, right? Like you can't for years and years, like it just wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be possible. But what is it that you love so much about the building side? I mean, when you think about it, like what brings you so much joy about it?
Today, for example, before this, I was with some customers. I was helping them with, they were doing their plumbing fixture selections. We were having a good time. They were actually sitting in tubs and so on for their master, testing them out. And it's just, I just love the aspect of working with clients, doing, you know, that helping with the design phase, you know, being involved in the design process. And as a little kid, I mean, I used to always build stuff, Legos, whatever you can imagine. I always had a very good imagination, and now I'm building, now I'm building houses. So it's like, you know, I help with that blueprint stage, that design stage, and watching these things come to life and take shape and being a part of that process too. I love it more than anything. And actually them asking my opinion on stuff all the time and expertise and so on too. That's probably my favorite part of it. And then the finished product, making sure we deliver a superior product. I mean, that's kind of how I've tried branding us and our company too, is just, we go above and beyond. We're a high-end builder. We're mostly specialized in the luxury end, but we're so detail-oriented too. Like, me and my brother literally go through so many different punch-outs. The warranty, even after the client takes possession of the house, we want to take care of people as well. And I've made a big emphasis on that. But it's just that client relationship, watching them take possession of the house, how happy they are too, is in the process of that I help design this thing and bring this thing to life, is what I love and enjoy too.
That's so amazing. I love that. I really agree with you. I feel like the client experience, I think regardless of what industry your business is in, is so important, right? Because people are trusting you to deliver on what you say you're going to deliver on. And I think it's a really interesting conversation to have, because I think that's what really separates you from the rest, right? It separates you from your competitors, and it makes you the go-to and the top of mind person to be creating and building for your clients. And so how would you say that, like, your values, your family values, your family owned business, how would you say that those values have influenced the direction and the growth that your company has had, but also where you envision it going in the future?
Yeah, I always preach on what my dad taught me. Growing up, my dad was very detailed. He was very meticulous, and he wanted stuff done right, clean job sites, so on. So that's kind of, I mean, and when you're the one doing it and having to clean the job sites and you know, do the little the odds and ends around, making sure everything's spotless, walk around the outside, make sure everything looks good as well. You know, that's like what really taught me too throughout growing up too. My dad always said everything has to be spotless, clean, done right, correct, you know, and also take care of the client, make sure the client is happy. So that's kind of been instilled in me and my brother too, to where you can't be sloppy, you can't, you know, just because I've seen other builders, I've seen their stuff, I've seen how, you know, they have messy job sites, how there's just crap all over the place and so on. Your job is kind of a representation of who you are as a builder. And in the end too, people see that, they notice it. I mean, when we're doing 4 punch outs, and when I say punch out, that's when we kind of walk through, mark up, blue tape everything, make sure it's perfect prior to a next stage happening. We do 4 of them when a common builder is probably only doing 1 of them. Wow. So that just shows you the detail and how detail oriented we are. So it's just, that was one thing growing up too, was my dad kind of instilled that in us. And I guess having the respect for it, because we had to do it personally, you know, and actually do the labor and so on. It's just kind of engraved in our heads now to have that respect, and clients appreciate it too. So in the future, to answer your question there, you know, I really put an emphasis on doing the right thing. You know, it's not just about the money. It's about, like, it's about helping these people too, because a lot of the selection stuff, they don't know. Like today, I'll use today for example. You know, they were looking at faucets that were high-end faucets that were another $450 per faucet. Wow. And I was like, well, why are you doing that there? It doesn't make sense. Save the money. You can get this one that's $450 less, and nobody's even going to notice. This is going in a pantry, or this is going in that help. Even toilets. I mean, they were looking at toilets that were like $900-something. I was like, these are bathrooms. They're toilets. Somebody's not going to walk in the bathroom and say, wow, that's a great looking toilet, you know? So It's just doing the little things. Those little things, though, they make a difference for the client. Not a lot of builders are willing to do that and do that extra little touch or give their opinion and just help. That's the thing. It's just all about kind of helping guide them, but also helping them save some, cut some costs along the way to make them happier too.
Well, that's such a good point too. And I think a lot of the times, like, people have this mindset, if you want to make a lot of money, like, you have to price things really high, or don't undersell, like, if they want to purchase it, let them buy it type of thing. But I think there's something to be said for staying true and honest in your own values and, like, what you believe. Mm-hmm. Because on the flip side, it's like, if you were to tell them to go ahead and buy the $400 faucet, and then somebody else tells them, like, oh, why did you do that? Like, that's such a silly, you know, expense to make. And it's kind of like, it sort of breaks the trust a little bit. Like, oh, why didn't they tell me that? You know what I mean? And, you know, people really do operate off of, like, referrals, right? And referrals are so, I think, so important to any business. And, like, your testimonials, your brand is what people say about you, essentially. You can try and create it however you want, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's what other people are saying you are and how you are, right?
Well, they're paying for an experience, especially in the luxury end too. I mean, we're not doing production home, track home stuff where we're just turning and burning them. These are big homes that people are adding detail, adding touches to, and they pay for our opinions, our guidance, and so on. So, I mean, there's so many builders out there that just build the house. That's it. There's an architect, there's a builder, there's a designer maybe, and that's it. That's not the way I like to run how the process goes. I like to be involved from the planning stage, which I tell them. I'm always giving my opinions on plans, resale. I'm being in the real estate field too. That helps me kind of assess things for resale. But I always ask what they want. I always listen too. You always have to listen. And that's the thing. I mean, communication's always key, but there's listening is more important, especially in any, it's in any business, but in custom homes and the amount of money, this is one of the biggest purchases these people are making. This isn't a car.
Yeah.
You know, this is an actual house, 4,000 plus square feet. So you want to listen to what they want. And then obviously if I'm the one listening, maybe the architect misses something and I say, hey, you missed this. They actually wanted this a certain way. And they're like, wow, you listen to me. Mm-hmm. You know, when you actually listen to people and open up your ears, it's more important to them than anything. And I think a lot of people struggle with that because everybody wants to kind of have their own opinion on everything and so on. But I started doing that more with the process. And then even throughout the process, like I keep bringing up today because, you know, the moment just happened, but I always ask, what are you looking for? How do you want that? Okay, well, this doesn't come in a certain color. You know, then they'll look over and ask my opinion, but I let them make the decision overall for himself. Like, Bill, what do you think about chrome fixtures? Okay, I'll tell you my opinion on it. Chrome, fingerprints, you're brushing your teeth, toothpaste, you're going to be cleaning chrome all the time. Chrome's very popular right now. Why not do a brushed nickel? Less cleaning. Very close in color and concept, just a little bit cleaner, a little still modern, still has that touch. Go that route. Okay, can we see a brushed nickel? Oh, I love it. Perfect. So you're giving that guidance, you're giving, but they're making the overall decision too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're going to pick the selection, the style, and so on as well, but you're just there to guide them and help them with that decision too, which unfortunately, you know, I don't think there's a lot of builders willing to do. A lot of them do it too, but I'm big on that. I just want to help. That's the thing. That's what it's all about.
I completely agree with you. I love that so much. And so one question that keeps coming to mind for me is, you know, if you have all of like these different clients and you're working on all these different projects, you know, how do you always make sure that you are really providing them that like tailored and you know, very supported like service, you know what I mean? Because if you're doing so many different things, you're wearing the hat of a designer in some points, you're wearing the hat of a builder in another point, you know, you're remembering all of these details. Like, do you have some tips for people to, you know, get better at remembering or, you know, just, I guess just, you know, sort of balancing it all.
Write everything down. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, hire. I'm big. Team is very important. You can't do it all yourself. The older I get, I guess the more I realize that too. You know, and it's hard for especially entrepreneurs. to kind of let go, let people help make decisions within a business mm-hmm. too. And it's, you know, cause running a business, it's your child, you know, you're growing this thing, you're making, but you want it done a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it's hard to let things go, but if you hire the right people and put those right people in place, that makes a big difference. You know, you set your expectation with every employee, but you make the employee want to be a part of the process as well, you know, and it's something that's very important, especially in custom homes. It's something necessary, having the right people in place. Like, you know, where I'm gifted at certain things, my brother's better at other things. And where I can't handle something, the girl that's doing our selections handles that aspect of it. I don't want to handle the billing end of things, so my sister handles that, but my sister doesn't want to talk to anybody. I talk to everybody. So you see, I mean, it's just having those pieces makes a big difference, and having those pieces click where everybody's a family, it's part of that process, and you know, have those core values and have that everybody on the same page, that they feel like they're part of building something, you know, and that's what it is. Everybody on our team's a part of building that house and making that house come to life. It's not just me. It's not just my brother. It's, you know, my sister and every other employee that's in our office too. And that's what's important, to kind of help that process go a lot smoother. And then we have a decorating firm that I'm working with. They're doing 5 of our projects right now. They're full on interior design. I have my architect that does all our stuff too. So it's like having all those people and those resources, and we all communicate well, we all click really well. And it's just everything flows correctly. And especially in this caliber of house, you can't have bumps in the road. No. They expect a certain thing and they expect a certain product delivered, and you have to over deliver most of the time.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's such a good point. And I completely agree with you. Like, even just this year, I had to hire 2 team members to help. I have a podcast production company. And so I hired someone to help me edit, and I hired someone to help me with all the social media content. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, like, you can only do so much. Like, there are only so many hours in a day, right? And so how do you grow anything? How do you scale anything without the help of people that you trust around you? I feel like that's just so important. And you said something so true there, like making sure that you're hiring the people who are, you kind of said it without saying it, but like aligned to like your values, to making sure that everyone is working on the project together and everyone is like all hands in, because I think that's how you keep the integrity of having a family business, right? Because like, you build this whole business with love. And if you hire the wrong people, that integrity of your business gets risky, right? So I don't know. I just think that that's such an important piece to highlight, right?
Yeah, it's huge. And I'm actually, like, I just got back from an event. I'm in a group called Arte Syndicate, and we actually went to an event. I don't know if you're familiar with First Form, Andy Frisilla, and but he owns a business called First Form. And after going to that business, seeing how everything operates, seeing how, and I actually asked him too, you know, about, because this was more about branding and so on, but he said everybody that works at First Form wants to be a part of it. They want to watch it grow and be, and it's their kid too. It's their business. They feel like they're a part of something and a movement. That's what he's created. He has core values on every corner you turn, his core values are on those walls. And everybody that works in that building abides by and lives by those core values. Everything's perfect. They keep it clean. Bathrooms were spotless. Like, everybody respects every inch of that facility. And so I was like, man, I gotta really start. You know, obviously we're very similar. We're not even close, you know, not that big. He has 350 employees. I have 6, but
pretty good.
You know, but it's still, you know, looking at that and how it's running and how it runs itself, you know, that just makes you really kind of, it opens up your eyes to see what you really need to do as far as your business and so on. Because if you hire just based on skill, and he actually talked about this, if you hire just based on skill and past, let's say, like everybody does, what did you do in the past? Who'd you work for? This and that. It's not always going to be the right fit. But if you hire on some, you know, people with your core values, they respect it, they have that same vision long-term for you, your dreams, all that kind of stuff, you can teach people how to do stuff. Yeah, it might take a little bit longer and so on, but in the end, they're going to last longer too. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to be a part of your company. So it was a big kind of awakening, eye-opening for me in a lot of ways too, just because I got to get moving as far as scaling and keeping the momentum going with our company. But I realized a lot with that, what we just said.
Yeah. It's a really, really good point. And I think that knowing when to make those moves and taking those little leaps and like those jumps, I think knowing when to make those jumps is just so important, because sometimes if you wait too long, like you waited too long, right? You gotta, yeah. And I think that's part of being an amazing and effective leader. Like you recognize those different points and you know that that's what's going to take you to the next level. Super, super important. I think for all of our listeners, the listeners on my podcast are all entrepreneurs. And so it's like you were saying before, like, you know, your business is your baby. It's an extension of you. And so as an entrepreneur, it's so easy to kind of want to hold on to all of the pieces.
Yeah.
But that's the difference in how you scale. And I think that, I just love this part of the conversation, because I think it's a really good reminder that it's something that's needed, right?
Yeah, well, not a lot of people are just hesitant. Like you said, a lot of people are hesitant to scale, expand, because they micromanage everything. They want everything ran how they are. They want everybody, but we can't clone ourselves.
Exactly.
You know, there's one of us. You just have to hire people around you that have that same drive as you, but you have to also, and this is what they really preached on in this too, is, you know, you have to give these, your employees something. You have to have, you know, set basically they want to chase something, make them want to go after something as well. Like you expanding that new building. He even talked about it too. Andy Frisillis talked about it. That 200,000 square foot building. They used to be in a lot smaller building, but he had a picture of the actual piece of property and told every one of his employees. And he goes, we're going to one day, I'm going to build a building. It's going to be 200,000 square feet on this lot. Well, he ended up buying a lot right near there, but he ended up building that 200,000 square foot building. And now they outgrew that in a year.
Wow.
So they're about to build another one. So, I mean, it's just, but you create that following, that movement, that the people want to back you. They want to be a part of what you're doing and that growth of the business. And they know they can grow with you along that journey as well. So it was so important. It was a very big awakening in a lot of ways too, because we're always so hesitant to, when should I start expansion and so on. Maybe I shouldn't take on as much, you know, maybe I should pump the brakes because I don't want to get overwhelmed. But you keep on pumping the brakes, you're going to keep doing it forever. You're never going to finally, because you're always going to worry, what if I do move too fast? You know, it's human nature. It's common. We all face it.
Exactly. I feel like you're speaking like right to me right now, because I had a really hard time. I'm one of those people that I never considered myself a micromanager. Never, 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 until I went to outsource something. And so I outsourced editing. And for me, like, I'm so meticulous in making sure that everything is done for, right? But it's your name on the door, right? Like, and so if you are doing something and if you have a client and you're doing work for a client, like, you're going to put your best foot forward. I would hope that you would, if you're running a business. But, you know, for me, it was like one of the hardest things to do was to like let go. But what I realized is how important it is for me to communicate my vision to the people. Cause like you said, like there's only one of you and people don't know what's inside your head. People don't know how you feel about a specific thing. Right. So that was a huge learning curve for me. And it was a great lesson to learn, because if you always hold on to everything, I feel like you end up losing a lot of it, because you can't do everything by yourself, you know?
What you just said right there too, is it was figuring out how to communicate that vision. That's one of the biggest problems everybody has, is they don't know how to communicate it. They don't know how to tell people. And that's the problem with communication and also listening, which we all have our issues with as well, because we want to talk, we want to give our opinions. That's just the world we live in. That's just human nature. But if you actually listen, or you actually communicate your what exactly you want, somebody doesn't knock it out of the park, you can find somebody else that will, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the thing. And it helps with you too, because it takes a lot of, gives you time, because time's one of the most important assets that we have. We all, you know, the older we get, the more we appreciate it, the more we work, the more we appreciate it, because it feels like you blink and the week, we're already, you know, it's like the week's over. So it's just, yeah, time just keeps flying by. But one thing that I've really learned to appreciate is time, you know, because a lot of people say, I don't have time, I don't have time. But a lot of people don't realize why they don't have the time. They waste a lot of it. They mm-hmm. waste a lot of it doing stupid stuff. They waste a lot of stuff, you know, by sitting on the couch, watching Netflix. There's nothing against that. If you want to do that, go ahead and do it. I just choose not to. I choose to spend my time maybe editing at night or doing stuff. Like editing my podcasts or videos or anything I can do, because I have that time to myself to exactly. do it. And it's like, I'd rather do that. I got friends all the time. Hey man, hey, want to hop on this or do this? And I'm like, no, man, I have a side business that I do sports card investing and so on too. I'd rather deal with that and look at my numbers with that and so yeah. on. It's just how I'm programmed, and we're programmed different as entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It's just how we figure out how to utilize these different things of time. You know, some of my mentors, like some of the stuff, I mean, they had 8 businesses they're running. So I have no excuse for saying I don't have time to do mm-hmm. something, because I look at them, and if I want to get to their level where it's private jet level, okay, I can't have that excuse. I got to mm-hmm. figure it out, put my head down and work. That's the thing. So.
I love that. That's so good. And it's such a good point, a good reminder. I do think that entrepreneurs are just wired differently, though. I really agree with that. Like, I hear a lot of the time, you know, well, you just work all the time. Like, you're always working. And I'm just like, but it's not work. Like, first of all, I think when you actually enjoy what you're doing, it doesn't actually feel like work. It doesn't feel like a burden. You know, when you think of like work in the traditional sense of, you know, going to work and going to your corporate job and this and that, like, it feels like work for most people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I always think to myself, I'm like, it's not that bad. Like, I would rather spend a Monday night editing a podcast because mm-hmm. that is, you know, that's what brings me joy. And I learn so much. Like, I listen to hours of podcasts every single week and just learn so many different things in so many different industries and niches. And it's incredible, right? Like, it's just incredible.
It's a thing. If you're not learning from, I mean, that's, you're taking the time to listen to other podcasts and learn. I do the same thing. I look at them, I see how they write their content, and that's you learning to get better.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually ask questions of people and so on, as far, and I'm sure you do the same, where you're trying to figure out, okay, what placement do you put it, or what category are you under, and so on. I'm constantly, I mean, I'm 100 episodes in on mine almost, and I just changed the category again, because, you know, I found out a way to improve it even more. Exactly. So you're always just, if you're an entrepreneur, you're always trying to figure out how to level up, and even in those small areas too, like podcasting. That's not my full-time job, but I do it. And I want to make sure my content's getting out as much as possible. So you're always figuring out something, some way, somehow, to get better. Let's put it that way.
I love that. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm curious, when you get to build these homes for people and help people find their homes, you know, with the real estate side, and even more so than, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'm curious if you have any other thoughts, like even more so than just the dollar that's behind it. Like, what does it mean to you to be able to provide that for somebody?
The money's good, obviously, and it's a great part of it, but it's not, I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, because it's not, you know, saying it's not about the money or whatever. I mean, money's, and we all work for money. Let's get that fact straight. None of us like to work for free. I mean, it's, I get out of it just the satisfaction of helping people, even on my real mm-hmm. estate side too. Like, I just enjoy, I don't have to do real estate, but I do it. I take the time because I want to help people, and I do it the right way. Mm-hmm. And people see, and by saying the right way, let me reemphasize on this, is, I kind of give my opinion on stuff. A lot of realtors wouldn't do this. They wouldn't say that's a bad property. They'd say, oh, you like it? Okay, let's put in an offer. That's kind of your common realtor. You know, just try and get them to buy whatever you can and then move on to the next one. I hate to say it, but that's common. That's common in any sales. I've learned, I mean, it's not even learned, it's just who I am personality wise and so on. I want to put people in the best property possible that's going to give them the best resale out of it as well. I always think future. That's just how my brain works. And also, I always think longevity, how it's going to last, what if there's any issues. I kind of, as I'm walking around, I'm assessing these things. People think I'm nuts. I'm like, you know, showing a house, but I'm pulling open cabinets and, you know, knocking on stuff. And, you know, they're, what's this guy doing, you know, but I it's just who I am in that aspect of it, because a lot of people hire me because I have that construction experience too. So I can look at something and assess it differently than a typical real estate agent would.
It's true.
And then even on the building side too, like, I want to be the best at luxury homes. Like, that's just who I am. You know, I still drive by, if I see another builder sign in a lot, I still cringe. I mean, that's just competition in me. But I also want to teach people. And that's what, like, kind of I've been doing with my podcast, is just teach people what to look for in certain things, because we live in such a price-driven world. That's in any business. I mean, people are used to going on Amazon, buying the cheapest product, and it just, whatever works. But in homes, it doesn't work that way. And not a lot of people know certain things to look for in a house, that why a house may be more expensive than another house. You know, there's people with budgets, that's fine. But on my end of building and what I'm doing, I try and preach and showcase why we may cost a little bit more compared to the other guy. Where is he cutting corners? What is he taking out? What should you be looking for that they are pulling out to have a big difference in cost? Because they're doing it somewhere. And yeah, that's just kind of how I am as far as the building end of things. And it's just helping people, doing it the right way, doing business the right way. I don't want to sound cliche with that, but it truly is. To me, it's like more passion than anything. It's just like doing it right and making people happy in the end too, but also continuing the customer service relationship. You just making sure things are done. I've done stuff even after warranty for people because it should not have happened.
Yeah.
You know, typical builder. And I tell these people too, I'm like, you know, a typical builder would have said, you're out of warranty, you're on your own, but because this should not have happened, we'll take care of it. You know, and that's not common, and they really appreciate that, respect it, and refer us out too. It's just like I said, go above and beyond, do the right thing.
That's so good. And it's so true. Okay, Bill, this is my last question for you. And it's a question I ask all of my guests when they come on the show. And it's, how can someone create a little more happiness in their day every day, starting today?
That's a good question. Just doing the right thing. Like I said, talking about that is huge. I mean, when you do the right thing and help people and just go about your work day, because we all work. And even if you don't, just doing something positive throughout your day to help somebody is huge. Get around positive people. I mean, that's been one of my big changes, to just be around people that are positive, because it makes a big difference in your life, believe it or not. Get away from the gossip and all that crap.
Yeah. Nobody's got the time for that.
It'll make a big difference in your life too, but just be nice to people as well, as much as possible. I mean, we live in a crazy world today, to where it's just, you know, you run into so many different people, so many different attitudes, mindsets, opinions. You know, it's just, the best thing you can do is just try and get along with everybody. Everybody's so opinionated. And I've kind of, like I said, it goes back to the listening thing. You know, some people may not have the same views as you, but if you actually listen and open up your mind to them, I think that would change the world completely, because not a lot of people are willing to do that.
Yeah.
I've actually kind of changed my thoughts on that and just listened. I mean, you know, politically, whatever you want to talk, religious, whatever, I'll listen. You know, I may not have the same opinion as you, but I'm going to listen and hear you out.
Exactly.
Because we all shut each other down so much, so often, that I think that's part of the biggest problem with the world today. And that's why there's so much division and so on going on. So if we all just listened, opened up our ears and listened to each other and actually heard each other out and just kind of shook hands and said, hey, man, your opinion's your opinion, or your, you know, it is what it is. You know, you could have that. This is where I'm at.
Exactly.
We'll still be friends.
Exactly.
But shake hands and move on. You know, that's exactly. That would change a lot of things. So hope that was a good answer.
I think it's a great answer. And I really do agree with you on that, because, like, you know, there are a lot of people who are our opinion, especially in this like day and age that we're living in now. There are so many things that we can have opinions about. But I think you and I are very similar in this. And, like, you know, while I may not agree, I'm not going to tell you that I don't agree. What's the point? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are entitled to think how they want to think, right? And I think that's what makes life the way that it is. If we were all the exact same and had all the exact same opinion, like, you know, and maybe in some respect it would be quote unquote better for like the world, if you will, but at the same time, like, that's what makes people who they are. And I mean, I have, like, I even just think of my family, like, we all have different beliefs in my entire family. What am I gonna do, sit here and like try and get my point across? It's like, no, it doesn't change anything in my day or my life. Move on. Mm-hmm.
It's something that needs to change. Will it ever change? I don't know, with all the crap that's out there and stuff that people watch. But I mean, I don't even watch the news anymore.
Me neither. We shut that off. We shut that off at the beginning of 2020.
Yeah, it's like one of the best things you can possibly do. And you see it all the time, because you know who's glued to the TV on the news and who isn't. But it's like, turn that crap off. You can have your own opinions on everything, but you also listening is, and I'm learning this more and more, actually listening to people is such a gift, because there's not a lot of people willing to take the time to listen to you, whether it's in business or in life in general. You know, everybody just wants to jump on their opinion and say their opinion. They're not willing to hear somebody out. And I think that affects a lot of people business wise too, because they're not willing, they can't do it in reality. Okay, I'm not going to do it in my business. It's kind of how I do things. That's it. You know, it's in this world and custom home building, cliche again, but the customer is always right. Not all the time, but, you know, in business, you want the customer to feel like they are making the choices, they are right, and they're being heard. They're spending a lot of money with us. They're spending, no matter what business, they go to businesses because they like them, they enjoy them, they'll be return customers for life no matter what. Maybe not so often with me on the home building side, but sure. If I build them a second home, I'll be happy.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And you know, just to like sort of like bounce off that idea too, like even on like the employee side, like even just listening to your team, people have such good ideas. Like if you don't give them the opportunity to share, like I've learned so much already from my team and just by listening to a different way. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's a great perspective. So just, yeah, even that too. I love it.
You're making your team a part of your process though, too, by you listening to them, you're making them feel like they can have their opinions and be a part of that process as well. And your growth and what your long-term vision is. That's key right there. That's what's going to keep you growing and make you even more bigger and successful. And word's going to get out like, I love working, you know, for your company and so on. And they're going to spread the word. And that's what creates a movement as well. You know, you want people to want to work for you. And it's not an easy thing to do, but if you have a movement behind what you're doing, people see that same vision that you have, you can make it happen by listening.
I love that. I'm feeling like this is the key theme of the episode today. Listening. It's so good. Honestly, Bill, it was so much fun chatting with you. I have absolutely loved this conversation.
No, I appreciate you having me on. I really do. I enjoyed it.
Me too. I would love if you could share where our listeners can find you so that they can learn a little more about you.
Yeah, social media. I'm Bill Ryman. Somebody took Bill Ryman. So it's IMBILLREIMAN. And then you'll find me on Facebook, Bill Ryman. And then LinkedIn, same thing. I pop up on everything because I think I'm pretty much the only active Bill Ryman out there in the world.
So oh, perfect.
That benefits things a little bit. And then website, rkryman.com. I have a podcast called The Real Build Podcast. Shows people what to look for in the construction and real estate industry. Very broad. So I have all different, I've had a closet designer. I've had all different little niche kind of things in the construction and real estate world on there. Mortgage people, insurance people, you name it, there's info for you on there to help you. So that is pretty much it. Or Google me, I'm sure I'll pop up. So
amazing. I love it. We'll link it in the show notes for everyone so they can get in touch with you really easily. But thank you again so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Me too. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode. I hope you love this conversation as much as I did. And be sure to connect with Bill. Let us know that you're listening. Let us know what you love from the episode. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.
Well, it looks like we've made it to the end of this episode. I'm so grateful for you tuning into this week's episode, and I cannot wait to see you over on the next one. If you loved this conversation and this topic as much as I did, please feel free to leave us a rating or a review wherever you're listening. It takes just a second, and it is so important for us so that we can make sure to deliver this content to those who need it. I'm wishing you the most beautiful day wherever you are in the world, and remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.